We're going back to the Mishnah. Where the Mishnah spoke about being Menachem Avelim. Being Menachem Avelim. So if you have a look, remember, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah between Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda about what did it mean in the pasuk min hamikdash lo yetzei. Rabbi Yehuda translated the pasuk literally that he should not leave the Beis HaMikdash, whereas the Tanna Kamma, if you remember, understood more figuratively, not that he shouldn't leave the Beis HaMikdash, but rather min hamikdash lo yetzei, he should not leave his kedusha. What does that mean, he shouldn't leave his kedusha? It means that he must not even become close to Tumah. We said it's like a type of gezeirah. He must not attend the Levaya, even if he has no intention whatsoever of touching the mitah. But the very fact that he's in attendance and he might get close and he might touch it, that itself the Torah prohibited. And according to the first opinion, that's included in the pasuk umin hamikdash lo yetze, which means umin kedushasoi lo yetze. He should not leave his kedusha. He's got to protect his kedusha. So have a look at the Gemara. Meis loy meis ton rabbonon umin hamikdash lo yetze lo yetze imohen. It's true, he can't actually leave with them and tend the Levaya. However, what can he do? Avol yoytzehu achareihen. But he can follow behind them, although not with them, close to the mitah, but he can follow behind them. How so? So you'll remember we saw this in the Mishnah and in Rashi there. Ketzad, how? Hein nichsin. When they become concealed from the eye, v'hu nigla, now he can appear. Hein niglin, once they appear again, v'hu nichsa, he's got to be covered. So if you remember, Rashi explained on the Mishnah in great detail that basically as you go from street to street, as the Levaya goes from street to street, the Kohen Gadol should never be together on the same street as the mitah. He should not be in view when the mitah is, so when the mitah, as it were, turns around the corner, so that's considered, that's what the Gemara means, that it's covered up, so now he can enter that street. Then the mitah leaves the next street, well then he can enter that street, etc, etc. Says Rashi, on the second line, U'min ha-mikdosh lo yetze b'koyen godoil oinein ksiv. That pasuk is written with regard to a Kohen Gadol who Rachmanu Litzlan is an oinein. An oinein means, as we know, a mourner whose relative had just died prior to the burial. Doksiv la'el mine, because it's written just prior to that pasuk, la'oviv ule'imoi lo yitamo. For either his father or his mother, he may not become impure. So we're clearly talking about when his relative passed away, and that's when it says min hamikdash lo yetze. Says the Gemara, v'yoytze ad Pesach. So if you remember, the Mishnah said that he enters the street, the coffin leaves, etc., etc., and he does that until the Pesach Shar Ho'ir. That was all the opinion of Reb Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda disagreed because Rabbi Yehuda says that when it says "Omen Amikdosh lo yetze," that's to be translated literally, "He shall not leave the Beis Amikdosh." Period. We translated more figuratively, "Omen Amikdosh lo yetze" means he should not leave his kedusha. The Torah is, as it were, protecting his kedusha. Not only must he not follow the mitzvah, he must even get close. So the Gemara says, asks a question. Shapir Ka'omar Rebbe Yehuda. Question mark. What does that mean? Shapir Ka'omar Rebbe Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has said, well, whenever we translate a pasuk not to be literal, the question must always immediately be asked, one second, why indeed are you not translating the pasuk literally? We would never take the non-literal translation unless we've got a reason to do so. So Rabbi Yehuda is translating the pasuk literally. Omin amigdash lo yetze means he shall not leave the Beis Hamikdash. So isn't Rabbi Yehuda correct? Why is Rav Meir understanding this pasuk to be figurative? Not that he shouldn't leave the Beis Hamikdash, which is definitely the simple translation, but rather he should not leave his Kedusha. And that's the Gemara's question. Shapir Kahoma, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's Lechaira said, well, Rabbi Yehuda's Taina, Lechaira is one up for him. Rav Meir is the one who needs to do some explaining. Why is Rav Meir understanding the pasuk not to be literally? Omer lecha Rav Meir, so Rav Meir would tell you, Ihochi mi beisoi nami loi. What does that mean? Mi beisoi nami loi. Rav Yehuda says, not Rabbi Yehuda, excuse me, Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that if you want to translate the pasuk literally, umin hamikdash lo yetze, he shall not exit the Beis Hamikdash. So now our girsa in the Gemara is le beisoi nami loy. But if you look at the Bach at the side of the page, they translate it as they change it to mi beisoi nami loy. Mi beisoi nami loy. So this is Rav Meir's retort. Says Rav Meir, how do I know that this pasuk is not to be translated literally? As in, do not leave the Beis Hamikdash. Were that to be the case, then surely he shouldn't be allowed to leave his home either. Now, Rabbi Yosef, I'm curious. Rabbi Yosef, you can hear me? You're on mute. Rabbi Yosef, you can hear us? You want to demute for a second?
Yeah, sorry. Yes, I can hear you. Yeah, very clearly.
I'm curious, how does Rabbi Artscroll translate this line? Ihochi mi beisoi nami loi. There must be a footnote over here in the Gemara.
I didn't keep up with you the last couple of moments.
So when it says Omer lecha Rav Meir, Rav Meir says, maybe Larry has it, Omer lecha Rav Meir, Rav Meir tells you, I see.
Elohochi koma. Yeah.
No, the line before that. Omer lecha Rabbi Meir.
If so, that the verse is to be translated literally.
Yep, keep going.
Leveso nami lo, then the Kohen Gadol shouldn't be permitted to leave the temple at all, even to go to his own home.
Right. So that's if you go without the Bach. I mean, if you leave the Girsa as it is in our Gemara, le beisoi nami loy, le beisoi means to his home. If Rav Meir is coming with a very simple taina, if you're going to translate this pasuk literally, what does it say? The Kohen Gadol should not leave the Beis Hamikdash. Well, if that's literal, then it sounds like the Beis Hamikdash has got to be his prison and he can't even go home at night. And that can't be. Therefore, says Rabbi Meir, that's my license to understand that the pasuk cannot be literal. Because if it was literal, if you literally translate the pasuk, Umina Mikdash Lo Yetze, then you're telling me 24/7 he's got to be in the Beis Hamikdash, he can't even go home, and that's absurd, that can't be. Okay, so what is the translation? Hello. Rather, it cannot be literal. Therefore, Hachi Ka'omar, as we always point out, what does Hachi Ka'omar mean? Therefore, this is what it must mean. Not what does it say? I know what it says, but what does it mean? It must be Min HaMikdosh Loyetze, quote unquote, in fact means Mikdushasai Loyetze. It can't be that he doesn't step outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's absurd. If he doesn't step outside the Beis HaMikdash, and basically you're telling me the Beis HaMikdash is a prison and he can't even go home. No. Mina Mikdash Loyetze doesn't mean don't exit the Beis HaMikdash. It means don't exit his Kedusha. He's got to have special protection. What's that special protection? The special protection is don't get too close to the Levaya. Now remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how did Rabbi Yehuda translate the pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda translated the pasuk literally, "Umina mikdash lo yetze," which means not only will he not get close to the levaya, he doesn't in fact attend the levaya at all. He's stuck in the Beis HaMikdash. And how does Rabbi Yehuda know that? Rabbi Yehuda says, "Well, excuse me, that's a simple translation, mikdash lo yetze." So Reb Meir turns around and says, that can't be, because if you can't leave the Beis HaMikdash, and basically you're telling me you can't even go home either, that can't be. So therefore, what is the compromise that we will take? He mustn't exit his Kedusha, i.e. he's got to protect his Kedusha. He does not need to remain in the Beis HaMikdash, but he can attend the Levaya, albeit not in close proximity. Why will that help? So look at the Gemara, the Kiven, the Islay Hekeira. Once he's got now this recognizable gap, because we're telling him, yes, you can attend, but you cannot get too close. So then, loy osi laminga. So he will not now come to touch the coffin. Were we to give him free rein and we would say, yes, no problem, you can attend the Levaya, well, then I'm sorry, it's too close for comfort. He might, therefore, in the spur of the moment, in the heat of the moment, he might come to touch the mitzvah. So, what's the compromise that we're offering? You can attend the Levaya, but there has to be this hekka. What does it mean there has to be this hekka? This has to be this recognizable distancing that you're making between yourself and the mitzvah. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, now everything makes sense. I'm not going to translate the pasuk literally, that he mustn't step foot out of the Beis HaMikdash, that's too much. Rather what? Protect his Kedusha. Do not exit his Kedusha, means he's got to protect, you've got to mechazik the Kedusha. How so? By erecting this barrier. What's the barrier? That he's never allowed to be in view of the mitzvah. And that way, because there's this hekka, he will not come to touch it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. The Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Agav merore. What does merore mean? Like the word more, bitter. Because he's got this bitterness in his heart, means he's so broken, he's so upset. Dilma Mikri, maybe it will just happen. The Vosi Venoga, he will come to touch it. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm sorry, it does not suffice to put up this hekka. Once you let him out the Beis HaMikdash, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't help to say, yes, you can participate, but don't get too close. Remember, we're talking about somebody who's lost a close family relative. He's got Marirus in his heart, and he might lose himself and come to touch the mitzvah, which is an Issa D'oraisa. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, yes, you do have to translate the pasuk literally. The Torah must have been telling you not make a protection to his tumah by erecting this barrier, but rather just stay where you are. Do not attend the Levaya at all. Rabbi Larry, you want to point out something?
Yeah, we have a pasuk that says "Vasisa li mishkan v'shachanti b'socham," and there's a lot of explanation to that. That means that not only make a Beis HaMikdash, Hashem would be there, but within yourself, make yourself into a mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, and I will live within inside of you.
Right.
So it's the same thing
No,
here when he's saying, it's the
no, no,
same
no.
concept when he's
All right.
saying.
Mikdush doesn't mean the temple, it means his own personal Kedusha, you're saying.
Yeah. mikdash, to make yourself into a mikdash, v'shachanti b'socham, and I will live within sari. I've heard that many times.
Yeah, very good. Okay, look at Rashi on the fourth line. Good point, Rabbi Larry. Mikdushasoi lo yetze. Chloima, how are we translating that? Ya'aseh chizuk l'dvarov. We've got to make a chizuk to the word of Hashem. Shelo yigroim lotseis mikdusha. He shouldn't cause himself to leave his kedusha v'litame and become tame. Marirai, Marira's liberi, the bitterness in his heart. So in the final analysis, everybody really agrees in the bottom line that we do not want the Kohen Gadol to become Tommy at all costs. He's not allowed to become Tommy. Even if it's a close family relative, whether it's a father or a mother, whoever it may be, he cannot become Tommy. That's not a discussion. So what is the discussion? How close will we allow him to become? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we cannot allow him anywhere near the mitzvah. In fact, he can't leave the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Because Mariras Liboy. He's got this bitterness, he's got this pain in his heart. And once you even allow him to step foot out the Beis HaMikdash, he's not in control. He's going to run after the mitzvah. Whereas according to Rav Meir, that's not true. Rav Meir says, once there is a hekah, what's the hekah? The fact that we are not allowing him to go too close because he's never in the same street as the mitzvah. So that way, a barrier has been erected, and therefore he will not become Tommy at the end of the day.
Rabbi, quick question. So would Rabbi Yehuda create boundaries and say, if a Kohen Gadol is an Avel, he must stay in the Beis HaMikdash? Is that his halacha? Because he's just saying, you know, you have to stay in the Beis HaMikdash. So there must be some incident that causes him during this particular time, he cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash.
That means at the time of the Leviah. At the time of the Leviah, he cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash.
If he's an Avel, I mean, he also has to create boundaries that say, based on what would his Mariris be enough to cause him to have a problem.
No. If, anybody who's an Avel, any Kohen Gadol, cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash for any Leviah.
If he's an Avel.
He cannot apply, cannot attend any Leviah of a family relative.
And if it's his best friend, is he allowed to go to the Leviah and keep it this
way? Kol Shekein not. It's even more reason not to.
Why? He's not tempted to touch. It's not my brother,
no,
it's a friend.
Because even a Kohen can't attend his friend's funeral. A Kohen is allowed to attend the family funeral. But a Kohen Gadol, we've got to put extra protection. He can't even participate in a family funeral. Therefore, says Rav Yehuda, stay where you are in the Beis HaMikdash.
But we
says
see today,
Shemaya, you can be the Beis HaMikdash, but don't get too close. Once you've got this hacker, you won't get too close.
But we see today how the Kohanim stand outside and they don't come in.
Maybe nowadays are different. But our Kohanim, we're going with the mission over here. Okay, we saw now, back into the Mishnah, we saw the Gemara talks about, this is Mamash in Yonah Diyoma, we're in the Bein HaMetzarim, we've got Rosh Chodesh Av coming up tomorrow night. So the Halachas of Avelus are in Yonah Diyoma. If you remember, we saw in the Mishnah, there exists the concept of the Kohen Gadol comforting others, or others comforting the Kohen Gadol, depending on whoever's the Avel. And we spoke about the concept of the Shura. The Shura, as we know, if we've attended a Leviah, following the Leviah, two rows are made and the Avelim walk through. Although we'll see in the Gemara, it wasn't always exactly that way, but that was the general concept. Now, the Kohen Gadol is always in a difficult situation, and this is really our discussion. The Kohen Gadol, for example, if he would be attending a Leviah, so on the one hand, he's got an obligation to try and comfort the mourners. On the other hand, we've always got to protect the dignity of the Kohen Gadol. He's not just, excuse me, he's yeah. not just,
excuse
me. He's not just another member of Klal Yisrael. So if you remember, the Mishnah said that when he files past the Avelim, he's flanked on both sides. He has on the one side what was called the Mamuna. The Mamuna was the Skan Kohen Gadol, as we're going to see. Excuse me.
Riot.
Amen. So he's flanked on both sides. On one hand, he's got the Mamuna, he's got the Skan Kohen Gadol on one side, he's got the Avelim on the other side. As we know, it's always covered for a person to be flanked on both sides. So have a look at the Brisa of the Gemara. Keshu Menachem. Keshu Menachem. When he comforts others, says the Brisa, Tana Rabbanan, we've learned in a Brisa. Keshu Oiver Beshura, when he passes through the line, Lenachem es achirim, to comfort other people. Sgan, who is the Sgan? The Sgan is, as it were, the deputy Kohen Gadol. Umeshuach Sheovar, literally translated, the previous or past anointee. We'll see what this means in a moment. B'yeminoi, they stand on his right. V'roish beis av, we'll see what that means in a moment as well. Also, clearly somebody of prominence. V'avelim v'chol ha'om mismoinai, and the avelim and the rest of the people are on his left. So on either side of him, he's flanked, he's being accompanied, and that's considered covered for the Kohen Gadol. That's talking about when he is comforting others. Have a look at Rashi. Moshuach Sheovar. Rashi's on the second narrow line. What's the Moshuach Sheovar? Rashi says, Kagoin, for example, She'ira Boy Psul. What happens if a Kohen Gadol became Psul? Maybe through no fault of his own. For example, he became Tommy. Unknowingly, a Kohen Gadol touched a mace, or he entered a building. It turns out the mace, for through no fault of his own, he's become Tommy, which means that temporarily he's disqualified for being the Kohen Gadol. That'd be one example. Another example, we'd have some accident. So he's become a Baal Mum. He has some physical blemish, which temporarily disqualifies him from being the Kohen Gadol until such time that he recovers. So what do you do? Says Rashi. If a psul occurred to the Kohen Gadol, uminoi acher tachdov, and they appointed somebody else in his place, then the first Kohen Gadol was restored. Ukasha'ovar psuloi. When, however, his psul was waived, so he was initially Tomei, now he's become Toher, or he had a blemish, but now he's become healed. Ukasha'ovar psuloi shel rishon. When the psul of the first Kohen Gadol now disappears, choizer. So he's now reinstalled. In other words, the interim Kohen Gadol, the second one, was only temporary. The Sheini, and that second Gadol, Kohen Gadol, who was just the interim, Korole, what do we call him? Mashuach Sheovar. He was in the past the anointee, meaning he's not the current Kohen Gadol, but in the past he had to stand in on a temporary basis. So on the one hand, he clearly retains prominent status. That's why we're giving him a whole title. But on the other hand, he has been, as it were, demoted. He was on a temporary basis the Kohen Gadol, but he was only there in the interim. He was just a fill-in. So as soon as the first Kohen Gadol was restored, now this second one is demoted and is called the Meshuach She'ovar. So either way, the Kohen Gadol is now coming to be Menachem the Avelim. So on his right-hand side, he'll have the deputy Kohen Gadol, who has various responsibilities in the Beis HaMikdash. He's also got the Meshuach She'ovar, which means the interim, previously appointed Kohen Gadol, although now he's been demoted. They're standing on his right. And on the left, you've got the Rosh Beis Av, which we'll say is the Rosh Bezdin, and the rest of Avelim, such that the Kohen Gadol, even whilst involved in his duties of being Menachem, this particular oval, but is still very much retaining his prominence, and therefore he's flanked on both sides. That's when he's being Menachem other people.
I thought you said he's not allowed to go to a funeral if he's not if it's not a, if he's not an Ovil.
After.
This is after the funeral.
This is, don't, aren't we talking about the Shura? Is that the funeral? Or that doesn't that
after,
they didn't...
after the Levi. After the Levi.
Where's the Nasi?
Maybe the Rosh Pesav is a Nasi, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'll call upon here. We're not talking about, he's not attending the funeral. He's long been buried. And in now talking about Nichum Avel. Now, that's when he is being Menachem other people. Says the Bryson continuation. Ukashehu Oimed Bashura. And what happens when it's he who is standing in the Shura? If you look, the beginning of the Brisa says, Kashuhu Oiver Bashura, as he's passing through the Shura. What happens when he himself is standing in the Shura, being comforted? Now, these words are a little bit tricky. Why are they tricky? Because we know that the custom nowadays is, who does the walking through? The custom nowadays, and Mor points this out later, is that the Avelim do the walking through. And those comforting are the ones actually who are Oymed Bashura. They stand in the line. And yet the Braisa over here, L'chaira, has it the exact opposite way around. In the first case, when he was being Menachem others, what did it say? Oyver Bashura. Oyver Bashura, he's passing through the line. And when he's being comforted, it says when he stands in the Shura. That's the exact opposite of what we do nowadays. So the Gemara will point this out later on. Okay, but either way, so when he's standing in the Shura now, being comforted, not when he's comforting others, but when he himself is being comforted, says the Braisa, Okeshu Oimeid Bashura, Umisnachem Me'achirim, and is being comforted by others, Sgan Miminoi. Once again, the deputy Kohen Gadol will be on his right-hand side. V'roish Beis Av, but the Rosh Bezdin Kol Ha'om Mismoiloi will be on the left-hand side. So who is missing from this picture? The Mashuach Shaavar. It seems to be the exact same positioning as when he was comforting others, except the Mashuach Shaavar does not feature. Why not? Says the Gemara, Avol Mashuach Shaavar Loi Osi Gabei. The Mashuach Shaavar does not come to him. He does not feature at all. Why not? Says the Gemara, My Taimer, what's the reason? Chol Shadaiti. Chol Shadaiti, Rashi says, Chol Shadaiti of the Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol sees the Mashuach Melchoma, that will not be a Nechoma for him. Why not? So this is a very sensitive emotion over here. Says the Gemara, Sovar, because he thinks, Kochodi bi. Maybe he's happy, he's not actually sad for me at all. In other words, remember, the Mashuach Sha'ovar, although he experienced on a temporary basis be a Kohen Gadol, he's been demoted now. So it's no fault of the Kohen Gadol, but you can imagine there might be some tension between the Mashuach Sha'ovar and the Kohen Gadol. Because the Mashuach Sha'ovar is now seeing the Kohen Gadol take the number one position in Klal Yisrael, whilst he himself has now been demoted to number two, and he might have, as it were, bad feelings towards the Kohen Gadol. So when the Kohen Gadol now needs to be comforted, the last thing he wants, says the Braise, is the Mashuach Sha'ovar to approach him. Because the Mashuach Sha'ovar might be, as it were, rejoicing, at least that's what the Kohen Gadol might think, rejoicing, reveling in the pain of the Kohen Gadol. Yes, I had the position and you demoted me. Well, you got what you deserve now.
Rabbi.
Well, the purpose of Nechama is obviously to act as a comfort. And if it's going to cause Chalishus Hadas, it's best that he doesn't feature, says Rashi. Kol Shodaite, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, his Das will become Chalash, means he'll become weak, he'll be upset. Why? Because he'll be thinking to himself, maybe Chodi be Someach Be'evli. He's thinking to himself, maybe the Mashuach Sha'ava is actually rejoicing in my mourning. And if he's rejoicing in my mourning, he's quite happy to see the Kohen Gadol, as it were, down and out, then it's best that he doesn't feature at all. Yeah.
Maybe it's more pragmatic than that, because if the Kohen Gadol is an Onain, maybe there are things he can't do. So the Sgan Kohen has to step up and become the Kohen Gadol when he's an Onain. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol would think to himself, oh, he's happy that I'm now an Onain, because he gets to step up and be a Kohen Gadol. It's not
good.
In other words, I'm an Onain now. There are things I can't do. So this Sgan steps up. He becomes the Kohen Gadol for a couple of days.
Very good.
And now, so now he's probably happy that this happened to me.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Ravram.
Yeah, on that point, then I have another point, and that is, what happened with Aaron HaKohen? Aaron, he was told, even while he was an Onain, that he shouldn't stop.
Oh. So therefore, this is relates now to Larry's point. We'll see later on, there are specific halachas of what an Onain can and can't do. And of course, we have a precedent for this from Aaron HaKohen himself. Aaron HaKohen's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, died. And he was told clearly that an Oinein can be Makriv Karbonis. So we'll have to see later on in the Perek what exactly is his halachic status now and for the next 7 days. We'll see.
Maybe there wasn't a skan Kohen Gadol in the time of Aaron because it was brand new.
Right. Okay. So we'll see. Mr. Hashem, later on in the Perek, all of these halachas are discussed. Can a Kohen Gadol do Avoida when he's an Avelos and Oinein? We'll see Mr. Hashem in the rest of the Perek. Yeah, Rabbi Avram.
Okay, the second point is procedure. We said in the first case when the Kohen Gadol was Menachem others, that basically he had his entourage, if you want to call it, and they passed through the Avelim. The second case seems to be a little bit different because it seems that it says the V'chol Ha'am went with him. So are we saying that the roles have now been reversed? That
right.
The actual, as a novel, he actually is the one that's walking through as opposed
right.
to...
100%. The Gemara is going to point this out, that we have completely switched around the minhag. Nowadays, the custom is that the mourner does not stand in the shura. Rather, the comforters stand in the shura, and the mourners walk through. But it's quite clear in the Braisa that it used to be the other way around, that the mourner would stand in the shura, and the comforters would file past to be menachem. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow morning in the session.
Yeah.
Everyone should.